It's Jason, and I am not a runner. When the snow melts and the sun finally comes out, you'll most likely find me with a fishing pole in my hand, or maybe playing catch with my boys. But every year here in Chicago, thousands of people hit the pavement to take part in 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons, marathons, walks. One website specifically for people searching out these events listed 84 in the city of Chicago between now and the end of the year.
We are back on the streets of Chicago and ready for racing.
More than 20,000 strong, decked out in green and running down the heart of
this
Chicago.
This morning, the hot chocolate 15K, 5K return.
About this year's Turkey Trot 5K.
This allows people from all around the world to come here and run through our neighborhoods.
And we got a question from a listener who wanted to know what the process is like to get permission to hold one of these events and what kind of rules they need to follow. Well, in a city where you need a permit for everything from fixing up your house to selling food out of a cart, you know the process isn't necessarily as cut and dry as filling out the online form.
In theory, all you have to do is, if you've got a computer, you can go on their website, and there's applications.
Yeah, in theory. So we decided to reach out to a guy who helps put together Chicago's ultra marathons to find out what hoops people need to jump through to put on a run or walk in Chicago.
Wait a minute, I just paid a $200 application fee. And they said, yeah, that's the application fee. The permit fee is $100. And I was like, but you're not even doing anything. Yep, give us $100 or you don't get the permit.
That's next.
America is changing. And so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on bbc.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Coming up, an evening of poetry and music celebrating the Raprary, Chicago's library, preserving rap and hip-hop as vital literary art forms. October 16th at the Poetry Foundation building in River North. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org.
When someone says ultra marathon to me, I'm thinking of a movie marathon, like Godfather 1 and 2, followed immediately by Goodfellas.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you? What do you mean funny? Funny?
Or maybe something more sports related, like an English soccer game in the morning, a Cubs game in the afternoon, a Bulls game in the evening, and a little nightcap of some Japanese sumo. But an actual ultra marathon?
It's very simple. Anything longer than a marathon, so a marathon distance is 26.2 miles. An ultra marathon is anything longer than that.
Some are pretty simple, like the 50K.
So that's a marathon plus 5 miles.
But for most ultra marathoners, that's pretty weak sauce.
Popular distances are the 50 mile 100K, which would be 62.2 miles, 100 miler, multi-day, 200 milers, see how far you can run in 24 hours.
Jeff Flights is one of the organizers of the Chicago Ultra Marathons. They happen twice a year, usually in March and October along the city's lakefront. And Jeff was a runner even before he started putting these events together.
A friend of mine, he said, you know, these days everybody's running marathons. That's not such a big deal. So I want to run an ultra marathon. So that was probably the motivation, was just, you know, running a little bit further.
So Jeff gets into this ultra marathon world, and a few years later, one thing leads to another. He becomes co-race director. So now he's got to figure out how these things are put together. And one of the biggest parts of the race he's in charge of is getting the event permits from the city.
It's a little bit confusing if you haven't done it before.
Which, of course, is an understatement. This permit process involves multiple steps.
You have to first of all pay a permit application fee, and you can submit a permit.
That's right. The very first thing you do is pay $35 just to apply for the permit. You may not end up getting the permit, but they'll take your $35 just for trying. Then you need to figure out exactly which city department you need to submit your application to. See, different city departments handle similar events, but...
It depends on the course routing. If you're going to stay within the park district property...
And park district property includes the lakefront and the lakefront trail.
Then you only need a Chicago Park District permit.
But if you're going to be on the roads, closing sidewalks, or anything like that...
Then you also have to get a DCASE permit.
DCASE stands for Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events. And you might need a permit from CDOT. That's the Chicago Department of Transportation.
And you have to submit the permit within 3 days of submitting that application fee. Not quite sure why, but you do.
And so much of this is based on timing. The permit process opens up online in mid-November, and you need to be on it. Because there are only so many weekend dates available where it doesn't feel like winter, and it's all on a first-come, first-served basis.
And I think they get a couple hundred people in line within the first, you know, minutes like that.
Okay, so now he's cleared the first couple of hurdles. Race planners like Jeff would submit two or three possible dates for their event, but because Jeff's events are really early and late in the season, late March and late October, he only submits one day and crosses his fingers. So far, he hasn't had any problems. The problems and the confusion and the craziness come later. The first race he ever pulled permits for, he was told he needed a park district and a DCASE permit. And as he recalls, here's what happened. His alderman says, "Why do you need both? The criteria for a DCASE permit is if you close streets, if you prepare food or serve alcohol, and if you have a stage more than 2 feet tall, but you're not doing any of these things."
And the answer I got back was, "Well, because you're advertising for this race." And again, it doesn't say anything in the DCASE application that if you're advertising for the race, you have to have a DCASE permit. But yeah, I was just told you have, say, more than 50 people in your advertising, so you got to get a DCASE permit. Okay.
When we reached out to DCASE about this, they said that permit was needed so city officials could properly plan for what kind of assets would be needed in case of an emergency. But there's no mention of this requirement in the permit application guide. And as he filled out more and more of these permit applications, Jeff quickly found out that all these fees were really stacking up.
I submitted the application and it was late. So I had to pay $200 instead of $100 for the application fee. I get an email that comes back and says, "Your application's been approved. You owe us $100. And I called the person and said, "Wait a minute, I just paid a $200 application fee." And they said, "Yeah, that's the application fee. The permit fee is $100. And I was like, "But you're not even doing anything." "Yep, give us $100 or you don't get the permit."
Yep, fees on top of fees on top of fees. And the cost of putting on the event just starts going through the roof. The more the city charges for all these permits, the more racers need to be charged to make the event happen. So Jeff starts looking for ways to cut costs.
When I looked a little bit deeper, there's a tiered approach to how much the permit costs. It depends on the number of people that are attending the event, as well as the location of the event.
Spots along race routes with water or snacks are called aid stations. And for each aid station, the city charges an additional $500 fee. If you want what the city calls an expanded aid station, that'll be $4,125. So Jeff comes up with a creative idea for how to remove one of the aid stations.
So I went back to the park district and said, "Hey, we're going to just do away with one of these aid stations. Where we used to have an aid station, we're just going to put a 7-gallon jug of water on a table with the sign that says Chicago Lakefront Ultras. You know, so can you remove that aid station from the permit and give us our $500 back? Well, they talked to their supervisor and came back and said, no, that's an aid station. So, yeah, 7 gallons of water sitting next to the lakefront path costs us $500. We decided in the future we won't put a jug of water out there anymore. People just have to carry water.
Even when you're absolutely sure that you've got all your ducks in a row, you've made your plans, you've paid your fees, you've notified the neighborhood police commander, you've got to be prepared for something else to happen. For example, since these ultramarathons take so long to complete, they naturally want to start early. Now, many of the parking lots on the south end of DuSable Lakeshore Drive have gates that are locked at night so people don't park there overnight. If you want them unlocked extra early, you need to, yes, you guessed it, pay a fee. But a fee, of course, is not the same thing as a guarantee. One year, the race director before Jeff
paid $500 or whatever it was to get the gates opened at 5 a.m. And the gate wasn't open. And so there's a line of traffic, you know, all the participants lined up in their cars like, come on, we got to get in here and get ready. Well, eventually they got tired of waiting. So they drove around the gate on the grass and everybody just comes through. After the race, the park district said, you owe us $500 for the damage to the lawn there. So I said, well, can I get my $500 back for not opening the gate? No. So they had to fork over the money for services that weren't rendered and also had to pay because of the damage to the grass.
Now, this is how Jeff recalls what happened, and it certainly makes for good race permitting lore. We weren't able to independently verify that this is exactly how things went down, although the fee for early entry is actually $450, not $500. We did reach out to the park district for comment, but didn't get a response. And even when the race is over, sometimes it's not over. Like the time Jeff's predecessor used surveyor's chalk paint to mark out the course.
Well, one year he got a little bit overzealous and put these orange paint markings all over the course. So the park district came out and said, you've got to remove that paint from the pavement. And he said, it's not paint, it's chalk paint. You know, it's surveyor's chalk paint. Well, I've seen it. It sticks on pavement for a month or two before it really wears away. And the park district said, well, you either remove all those markings or we're keeping your $500 security deposit. He had to go out there with a scrub brush and rubbing alcohol and stuff to remove all this paint from the path.
But all these permitting issues, all these things that pop up before, during, or even after the race, they never seem to stop the race itself or the joy people get from taking part in them. Ultramarathons have been taking place in Chicago since the 1980s, and Jeff has been a co-director since 2018. To his knowledge, not once during all that time has a race been called off because of a permitting issue. Coming up, what kind of people run 50 miles or more in a day? The answer may surprise you. And can any of this motivate me to get off my tuchus and get a little healthier? That's next.
Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Coming up, an evening of poetry and music celebrating the Raprary, Chicago's library, preserving rap and hip-hop as vital literary art forms. October 16th at the Poetry Foundation building in River North. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside. And NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
It's all about pacing.
Pacing. Yeah, that's something that really made me think. And not about starting with the chips and moving on to the Oreos. You heard me make a joke that my idea of an ultra marathon is lying on the couch watching movies or sports for 8 straight hours. And I make jokes because the truth is, I'm not happy with myself. I've gotten way out of shape. The idea of running to the end of the block and back seems as crazy and out of the question as running an ultra marathon. And yet, something about working on this story really got me thinking. I was asking some questions about who runs these races, and Jeff starts telling me all these stories.
Last year, believe it or not, we had a runner who was 85 years old, and he set an American record in the 50K distance.
Okay, well, if an 85-year-old guy can do this, could I?
We have one guy who comes back consistently. He walks the entire distance, the 50K distance, like a power walk. And the funny thing is, there'll be people running and he'll be passing them because he just keeps going. He just paces himself. He knows what he's doing.
And they've got other older runners too.
We've got another runner who is in her 70s. She has completed over 200 ultra marathons.
200?
She just comes out there, knows what she's going to do.
Okay, this is actually inspiring me. Is it possible? Maybe not an ultra marathon, but could I run, say, a 5K by the end of the summer?
Anybody can really do it. You just have to, first of all, put your mind to it. And secondly, pace yourself and not go out too fast.
Well, last weekend, the dog and I did a 4-mile walk in the woods. My feet and my knees hurt a little the next day, but it didn't kill me, and I actually enjoyed it. Now the question is, can I make it a regular thing? Can I find the time? Can I ignore the haunting sound of the chip bag opening in my head? And the couch calling me, calling me, calling me.
You just have to keep moving, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving.
Curious City is supported by the Conant Family Foundation and produced by me and Maggie Civet and Adriana Cardona Maguiad. Asia Singleton is our intern, and our fearless editor is Alexandra Solomon. Special thanks this week to Sylvia Goodman. I'm Jason Mark. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you back here next week.
What happens when you say yes for an entire year? Join WBEZ on October 26th for an evening with Titan of Television Shonda Rhimes as she recounts lessons from her best-selling memoir, Year of Yes. Tickets at WBEZ.org/events.